was so good to hear you, Josh and Chris together. Ah, thank you guys so much. So good to worship with you. I'm Aaron. I'm blessed to be here. I want to say happy Mother's Day. I know that Mother's Day is a powerful day, and there's a lot of people that are hoping for good things to happen on Mother's Day, especially moms. Hey, if you haven't got your mom a gift, here's a great gift. Listen to her, help her, do good things for her, and if she's not around, be thankful for her and live out something that she taught you today. Hey, look, I know that for some people, Mother's Day is really a lot of pain. And so I want to say to you, I'm sorry for that. I pray that if your mom is gone, you remember her well. I pray that if your mom was not the best mom, that you would forgive and that you would grow in that. I also want to say to you that I'm wearing this shirt right here as a reminder that my mom is tough as nails. The cat's out of the bag. Glennis Day, tough as nails, but a great hugger. And she isn't gangster, but she is into the hug life. And so here you go. Mama, I love you. Happy Mother's Day. God bless you. Hey, would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for being able to celebrate mamas. Thank you, Jesus, that you had a mama. Thank you that we have been blessed to be alive. And we can thank our moms for that. If we can't thank them for anything else, the fact that we're alive and that we have a chance to live and to make the most of our life is because they let us live. And if we have great moms, thank you so much for that. I have a great mom and I'm so thankful for her. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Would you open up my mind and my heart and my friends' minds and hearts to your word, we pray in your name, amen. All right, so I just want to remind you also, if you're giving as a way of worship, as a way of obedience, thank you so much. And I mean that financially, and also I mean that of giving your life. If you're not giving in that way, I want to encourage you to do so. I really want to encourage you to more obedience and following Jesus. And sometimes it starts with giving of our time, giving of our heart, definitely even giving of our money and our resources. Hey, we started this series, and we're nearing the end of it, and it's in 1 Corinthians, and it's called Even If, Love Like Jesus. And I'll just say it like this, even if it's hard, love like Jesus. Moms, you know what it's like to love and to love sacrificially. Thank you for that. So, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your strength. And he said, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and lots of different ways. It's in John. It's not in those exact words. But it's this idea that loving is definitely not about yourself. And so that brings us to four chapters today in the book of 1 Corinthians that talk about it not just being about us. And what's the not? Well, we're going to start with this. Church. Church is not just for you. Not just the way it sounds, the way people do a service, the way people even preach a message, but just the idea that the body of believers isn't just about one person. It's technically it is. It's about Jesus, but it's about his body, his people, all the different parts. And we're going to look at that today. And we're going to get after it hardcore like this. First, out of the chute, love considers others before itself. Straight up. That's what love is. Love is considering others before itself. Jesus modeled that for us. Mamas, you have modeled that for us. Thank you. Dads, you too. But we'll see you in June. But I want to say that to you again. Love considers others before itself. And so with that, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 11. I hope you have time to do that. Josh is going to put it up here on the screen. I want to bring you technically to probably one of the most challenging verses that we've come to this point. And it's 1 Corinthians 11, 1. And we're actually going to go through 3. But here it is. It starts with this. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. In the NIV, it says, follow me as I follow Christ. Be like Jesus. And it says, be like me, he says, as I'm like Jesus. Friends, wouldn't that be wonderful? The reason why I say it's difficult is because being like Jesus means you have to lay down your life. And that's hard. And we've talked about that a lot, so I'm not going to belabor it. I'm going to get to verses 2 and 3. He says, now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I deliver them to you. He starts out with a commendation. Good job, you guys. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Wow. So look, we could get right into this, and we need to, and so here we go. This is about the headship of Jesus. He made man in his image. He made woman in his image. He made them both. Man was made first, and then woman. And now the idea for that has been abused. The idea for that has been misunderstood. But I'm not here to abuse it or misunderstand it. I'm here to flat out say that Jesus, being the best leader and the head of the man, the head of the church, is this. He was humble, he was protective, and he's king. He is. Now he gets to say what happens in his family, but he calls men to be the leaders, to be the head, as he is the head. Now you can check that out in greater detail in Ephesians 5. But here on Mother's Day, why in the world, Aaron, would you bring that up? Why would you bring up men? Because the Word brings it up. And it's men and women. And I want to bring you to this in 1 Corinthians 11, 11 through 12, that it isn't just about men. It isn't just about men being an authority. It isn't just about women submitting. It's actually about us being together, serving one another. So here we go. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as a woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman. And all things are from God. Whew, man. Here we go, right? We started out this sacrificial love, this unity of the church, this idea that we talked about and that we would have as this main theme, that self-sacrificial love comes at a cost. And so we talked last week about just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Just because a man can be a jerk doesn't mean he should. Just because a woman can be a jerk doesn't mean she should. We actually get to be like Jesus. We are not independent from one another. We need one another, plain and simple. And all things are from God. God made us. All right, so in this idea that church isn't for you, there was a group of people in Corinth that really had gotten off the path of being like Jesus. Not only leading and following and imitating God and helping one another to imitate God, like to be like God. They got so far off of the beaten path that they got together for a love feast and were super selfish about it. And this love feast would include the Lord's Supper, what we call communion. And so we're going to look at some instruction in that and learn from it. And it's later on here in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you. Remember, he said, I do commend you on some things, but in this, I don't. Because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. Friends, I want to stop there for a second and say, God is so awesome that he would even take divisions, factions, fractured group of people, his church, and say, it's actually good in part because it helps us to figure out who's genuine in their faith. What are you doing with your freedoms? We talked about that a bunch last week. So he says, when you come together, is it not the Lord's Supper that you eat? For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. You're not even waiting for people. You're not being there together. It's all about you, he's warning them. And how many times in church do we make it about us? Too loud, not loud enough. I don't like the carpet. I don't like the preacher. I don't like the sunshine coming through Cro-Magnon Jesus. Do you miss that? I miss that a little bit. All right. So anyways, we make it about ourselves, and he's coming after this in the Lord's Supper. He says, one goes hungry, another gets drunk. Wow, that was church. And I think for some of us, we're like, boy, we're not that bad. Okay, good. But Jesus is actually our model. He's our example. And we need to look to him. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Now, Paul's getting all dad-like, right? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is a memorial. This is a heart check every single time we'd get together. He's like, look, you're getting together. And getting together is good. And you have that tradition of getting together. He commended that they got together. But he said, how you do it is a mess. Friends, can I tell you something? I'm gonna anyways. I mean, you can turn this whole thing off if you don't want to hear it. But many times we get together to do spiritual things. Church services, praying together, reading the Bible. Maybe you join us at Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 9 a.m. every week so far that we've been doing this whole quarantine. Maybe you get together, but your heart isn't right. And all the opportunities that we have to get our heart right, we don't take them. And if that's true, then what was intended to be a blessing will actually be a curse. And that's what was happening for them in this church. They're getting together to remember Jesus, this self-sacrificing king who gave himself for all of us and rose from the dead to give us complete victory, to inform us, to encourage us, to give us new beginnings. And we get together in his name and forget all about what he did and just ignore it. And so I want to say that God is so good. And he makes all things work together for the good of those who love him, called according to his purpose, that is. But we forget his purpose when we make it all about us. And I want to challenge you, and I want to ask you to consider, if you're remembering Jesus when we get together, would you remember Jesus all the time? Yeah, that's pretty easy, Aaron. Thanks. I'll just remember him every single minute. Well, ask him to help you do that, but you're not going to remember him every single minute, but you can turn back. So we're going to fast forward a bit to verses 33 through 34. So then, my brothers and sisters, he says, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone's hungry, let him eat at home. So that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I'll give directions when I come. I mean, he's so wonderful about this. And we got to move on to chapter 12. But I want to say this as we're at the end of chapter 11. Communion, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, getting together is remembering Jesus. If people are coming just to eat food, he says they should eat at home. Because really we're coming together to be together in the name of Jesus. And so I want to bring you to this idea also. And I mean this, please, in the comments, ask for help or call the church, 360-799-1030. Or email me, aarond@crosswaterchurch.org, or johnm@crosswaterchurch.org, or karenb@crosswaterchurch.org, or zachd@crosswaterchurch.org, or joshm@crosswaterchurch.org. If you need help eating, if you need food, we want to help you. Please. We want to bless you. We want to help you. Do you know people that need food? Let us know. You need spiritual food. Here we go. All right. I ask this question as a way of transitioning from this idea of leading like Jesus, loving like Jesus, humbling ourselves like Jesus, remembering who he is in communion, to this question: how do we love like Jesus with our preferences and our gifts? How do we? How do we use what God has given us to love others? Well, 1 Corinthians 12 is huge in that. And I'm only going to jump around a little bit in that, but it is one chapter about unity in powerful ways. We'll go to the first verse here in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. And so he goes on to explain what the gifts are and what they're for. We are not going to look at all of the gifts today. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to get into why he gave those gifts. And we can talk more about those gifts later. I'm excited about that. I love that. I've done a lot of study on that. But for time's sake, we're going to go right to this. Now, there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's a variety of service, but the same Lord. There's varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. Now, we all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. We all have different even preferences, but it's about God. Church isn't about you. It's actually about Jesus and his body, his people. It's about all of us serving, giving, being together. Just like the same God who empowers them all and everyone. Verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The show of the Spirit for the common good. It's for everybody. I love this. I invite you to look at it. I invite you to be a part of this. I invite you to go deeper in this than just, well, I like what I like, and I like it when I have it. I want it just for me. You've been blessed to be a blessing. It's for the common good. It's for the church. And we'll go to this idea of these different parts. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 21. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Our body, right? Everything that we have, head to toe. I'm going to get some water, actually, while I'm thinking about this. My body needs some water. But our bodies, head to toe, have different parts to them. But it's all one body. So it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. All of us, together, one. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Now, this is real for us. So many of us are like, well, I don't have the gifts that Josh has, or I don't have the gifts that Julie has, or I don't have the gifts that Kathy has, or I don't have the gifts that Luine over there in Haiti has. I don't have that gift. I'm not like them. I don't belong then. I'm not able to be like somebody else. That doesn't mean you don't belong. Listen to this. Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. You're still part of the body. You're a Christ follower. You're a Christ one. You're a little Christ. You're part of the body, whether you feel like it or not. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body. God put us together. In the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. You are not God. Positions filled. Homie, get off the throne and follow Jesus. He's the one that made you. Follow him. Be what he's called you to be. All right. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And then verse 21, and this is just kind of a little different expression of it. It's, now it's not like, well, because I'm not a particular part, I'm not part of the body. Listen to this. It's really prideful. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Because you're amazing, because you have great gifts, that doesn't make you less a part of the body or more important. It makes you part of the body. Look, you guys, in looking through this and trying to figure out all the different things I was going to say from here, I really want to summarize it all and saying, look, if it's not about you and you're called to love others before yourself, then you're also called to know that your gifts and your preferences really end up being to bless others. Do you prefer others? Would you use your gift for others? Verse 26 says it like this. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Look, I coached football for lots of years. And here's one thing that I always noticed in football. If one of our kids was offsides or one of our kids got penalized for doing something wrong, they didn't just move that kid 5 or 15 yards back. They moved our whole team back. And I noticed this as well. When one of our guys scored a touchdown, they didn't just give that guy 6 points. They gave the Turks 6 points. So just as it is in the body of Christ, when one of us is suffering, we all are suffering. And just as it is in Christ, when one is rewarded, we all rejoice. We get to help one another, cry together, grieve together, celebrate together, serve together. And then verse 31 in 1 Corinthians 12. But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And he's about to show us what those higher gifts are. And I will show you still a more excellent way. You guys, you're familiar with this one. I'm going to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. This is the love chapter. You've heard it at a wedding. Maybe you've got it crocheted or embroidered, or maybe, just maybe, you haven't memorized. I don't. But I love it. I love it. Check this out. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, this is the higher way, the most excellent way that he's talking about. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Do you remember we talked about this on Wednesday? Already, not yet. We are already perfectly loved, but we are not yet perfect. And we need each other. We need help. We need love. We need the love of Jesus, and he's given it to us. All right. So when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know fully, even as I'm fully known. True intimacy. Jesus knows you already. and you know him and you're growing. Get to know one another in the best godly ways. Finally, now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Friends, I know that that sounds so amazing, right? Sounds so perfect. And yet, we're like, I'm not there. I can't, like an old pastor told me a long time ago, and he's really old now, his name's Kevin Cavanaugh. Oh, just kidding, love you, Kevin. But he said, put your name in where it says love. Well, I'll just try this really quick, verse 4. Aaron is patient and kind, not always. Aaron does not envy or boast. Yeah, he does sometimes. Aaron is not arrogant or rude. Aaron does not insist on his own way. Aaron is not irritable or resentful. I wish. I need Jesus, and I don't exist just for me. I exist within a family. I exist within the body of Christ, and he chose me. And he chose you. Do you know him? Do you love him? Are you loving others as he's called you to love them? All right, I want to ask you this. Would you take a minute to take an application right here? Josh is going to have it on the screen for you, and I really want to encourage you. I'm going to read it directly so I don't butcher it. Build each other up in love by using your gifts and expressing your preferences to honor God and each other. 1 Corinthians 11, it's not just about you, right? It don't just come together for church and come together forgetting Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, there's lots of parts, but one body, and we're supposed to build each other up. 1 Corinthians 13, it's all about love, and this love is actually for others. No matter how amazing you are, if you're not helping others, if you're not building others up, you're not loving. And so with that, honor God and each other. I want to finish with this idea that church isn't just for you. And I could read all of 1 Corinthians 14, and it talks about speaking in tongues and some other things, but it's about how church is done. And it really gets summarized in a few verses, and it's really wonderful. We're going to go 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 3, and then we're going to go 20, and then we're going to go 26, and then we're going to pray. We're going to go live this out. All right, friends. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now, we hear prophesy, and a lot of times we think, oh, you're giving a prophetic word about something that's going to happen. That is prophecy sometimes. But a prophetic word and a prophecy is to actually speak God's truth, whether it's coming up, what's already happened, or you're speaking to somebody and you're being prophetic. And that can be really straightforward sometimes. But he says, if you're going to look for the spiritual gifts, look especially for prophecy to build people up. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. A lot of times the speaking in tongues was a language unknown to men, or at least unknown to the speaker. And he's saying, look, you're not doing that to men. You're actually doing it to God. For no one understands him, but he others mysteries in the spirit. And we love that. It's fun and it's exciting and it's even weird, right? But he's like, no, don't do that. Don't long for that. Keep that between you and God. Here's where he brings it around. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. We have so much that's already been written that we can share with people. And though it's hard to understand, and it feels a little bit confusing like another language sometimes, we've been called actually by God to build others up, to encourage them and to console them. And so look for those gifts that help with that. And then we're going to fast forward all the way to verse 20. Brothers and sisters, do not be children in your thinking. This is the second time he's like, look, the childish stuff is behind you. Don't be children in your thinking, but do be infants in evil. But in your thinking, be mature. Friends, there's so much going on in people's lives right now. And evil is lurking and messing with us a lot. Be infants with regards to evil. Be innocent. Walk away from it. Don't play footsies with it. Be wise in your thinking. Be mature in your thinking. Go with mature people that have mature thinking that are going to help you see Jesus to overcome evil with good, as it says in Romans 12. I'm going to finish with verse 26, and then we're going to pray. What then, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. You've got your gifts. Some of you can sing. Some of you can speak. Some of you can serve. Some of you are compassionate. Some of you are faithful. Some of you have all these different things, and it's wonderful. Come together to build up. Church isn't just for you. It's for God. It's for others. And you, but not just for you. What are you doing with what you've been given? What are you doing with the gifts that God has given you? What are you doing with the preferences? How are you loving like Jesus with those things? Look for those things, pray about that, ask for help in that, and do it. Do it. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you so much. This is so hard just to be talking into a phone. But I know you're here. I know you're real. I know that you're really talking to us and really calling us to be your people. Thank you that you want us to, and you paid for us to do that. Thank you for buying us in Jesus' blood. Thank you for giving us hope, because he's living hope and he rose from the dead. Thank you, God, so much for calling us to use what you've given to us for others. I love you so much. I know that it's hard to love like you, and I know that we're not doing it by ourselves, but you do give us choice. So I pray we choose you. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me first. Thank you for loving my family and friends. I lift them up to you. I pray that they would serve and honor and glorify you in joy. God, I pray all this in your perfect name. Amen. All right, you guys, give me a big hug. It's the Hug Life. I miss you. God bless you. See you soon, I hope.